chapter 13, but I will not be starting there. Let me give you this phrase again. This is the summary before we even actually get to the text and start dealing with it. You know, Romans 13, but like I said, I won't be starting there. You can just turn there just because I've given you somewhere to turn while I'm talking. The summary is this. The church is and will always be in this age. And I state that now. I've said it two or three times. I'll state it again. The church is and always will be in this age separate and distinct to human government. We have, in God's sovereign purpose, that is, the church. And if you're a part of the church, you are that. If you're a part of the church now, you've always been a part of the church in the mind and purpose of God.
Yes, sir.
But that doesn't mean, as the common phrase goes, I was born in the church. You are spiritually born into the church. That's more appropriate. That is, you're born by the Spirit of God, and this places you into the church. Okay? That called out assembly of believers. But we have, in God's sovereign purpose, a higher place than human government. The church is above human government.
Amen.
That is, it has a higher place. A more blessed place. You can be in human government and go to hell.
Yes, sir.
And I will add that I'm afraid most are.
That's it.
I will add that. And there's a reason why. It's because one of the mysteries. It's called the mystery of iniquity.
Yeah.
And we'll look a little bit about that. But you can be in human government. And you can be given, and when I say that, I don't mean that flippantly, because anyone who's in human government, and I mean that from the highest right down to the lowest, okay? And I don't mean you have to be a part of the government per se. If God has put you in your life over someone else, that's human government.
It's true.
You understand what I'm saying? If you're a father, you're over your children. If you're a mother, you're over your children. The children are not over you. It just that's not in God's word. The children are not over the parents. The parents are over the children. If you're over anyone, you are in human government, and God puts you there. I have my job, and I'm over other people. Why? Because God put me there.
Exactly.
Okay? The state trooper is doing his job. Why? Because God put him there. The governor is doing his job. Why? Because God put him there. The president is doing his job. Why? Because God put him there. The king is doing his job. Why? God put him there.
Amen.
Or her there. Doesn't matter.
That's it.
If you're in a place of authority over anyone else, God put you there. You're his minister.
Exactly.
His servant. But that is only in human government.
Exactly.
If you've been called into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a higher station than human government.
Yes, sir.
But as I said, we have, in God's sovereign purpose, a higher place than human government. But I've also got to say that we are not above human government.
That's right.
As the church. That is, we are not now, since we are the church, taken out from under being subject to human government. Because Paul says, let every soul. And who's he input? Now, this is good advice to anyone.
Yeah.
But who's he writing to?
Believers.
The believers at Rome.
Yes, sir.
And let every soul be what? Subject unto the higher powers.
That's it.
So, there is a distinction between human government and the servitude of that. God calls them his ministers, right? As a matter of fact, and we'll look at it, maybe read it later. God called a heathen king called, was it Cyrus? What did he call? My anointed.
Yes, sir.
Not in the same sense by any means in which Christ was the anointed.
Exactly.
But nevertheless, Joe Cyrus was God's anointed.
That's That's right.
Why? Because God appointed him for that specific station in that time.
Yes, sir.
As I said before, an example of this, a person may be by free justifying grace, blessed and exalted to a higher place or position in Christ, but that person may hold a lower station to another individual in life, this life. But this does not negate God's ordained order in human relationships. And I'm not going to deal with that right now. What I've been dealing with, and I wanted to just go through, there's eight of them in particular, is the mysteries. And that's what I've been dealing with now, because one of these mysteries is pertinent to our subject. That is the human government, the sword of human government, and the church, which are distinct. They are separate. And I'm not talking about the Constitution of the United States. I'm talking about God's sovereign purpose.
Yes.
Now let me just, I'll mention these. I may say a thing or two more, or in a way of reminding us about these, but I want to go on down through the list. There are eight separate mysteries mentioned in the Scripture. Let me put it this way, there are at least eight. Well, I'm not going to tell you I found them all. I don't mean that. But there are eight. The one was, we looked at it, there is the mystery of gospel truth. 1 Timothy 3:9, that's one of the passages we looked at. 1 Corinthians 2:1 through 10, that's another passage we looked at. 1 Corinthians 4:1. The main passage would be 1 Corinthians 2:1 through 10, where Paul said, had the princes known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Why? Because it's a mystery. Because it wasn't revealed to them. Now, it wasn't, I don't think, and this is my take on it, if you want to put it that way. I don't think Paul's saying there that it had the princes of the world knew that what was happening was salvation was being accomplished, they wouldn't have done it. I don't think that's what he's talking about. What he's talking about is they did not understand the implications of their actions.
Exactly.
They didn't really know who they were crucifying.
Exactly.
Pilate thought this is just another crazy Jew. Just another weird religious Jew. Maybe at the top of the list of weird religious Jews. The fact is, he should not even have offered the Jews Barabbas or Jesus. He should have just turned Jesus loose. Because he had done nothing wrong.
Amen.
He had broken not only none of God's laws, he had broken none of man's laws.
That's right.
Because man's government is ordained by God, and Christ was subject to that as well.
Yes, sir.
Let me put it, that's not really the best way to put it. He subjected himself to that willingly.
Yes, sir.
So when Paul says, this is this mystery, had they known this mystery, the princes of this world would not have crucified the Lord of glory. This is not something, that is the crucifixion, the suffering of Christ, was not something hidden in the Old Testament. It's something revealed in the Old Testament. That this would take place.
Yes, sir.
But it wasn't revealed to everyone.
Exactly.
It was only revealed to those who had been given spiritual life by God.
Amen.
They knew the implications of what was happening. That's the mystery of gospel truth. The second one was this, where Paul mentions in 1 Timothy 3:16, it is the mystery of Christ's person.
Yes.
You see, you and I, Paul states it as though it is still a mystery. Okay? It's still a mystery. You and I truly do not comprehend the person of the God-man. Because we have no idea what it's like to be absolute perfect deity joined to human flesh.
Exactly.
We don't even know what it's really like to be, and Job kind of mentioned, perfect human flesh.
Yeah.
You know?
That's it.
Adam had perfect human flesh to start with, but he failed.
Yeah.
We don't know. We've never experienced anything of that original state.
Exactly.
So we can't even relate to that, Job, let alone being deity and humanity together. You know? So that's the, that is still a mystery. Okay? That's something we still don't get. We get God's sovereign purpose in the death of Jesus Christ, don't we? We see that as it unfolded. We see God's sovereign purpose coming to pass even in the wicked acts of men. We get that.
Yeah.
That's a mystery that's been revealed to us. But there are still other things that is concerning Christ's person that we just don't get.
Right.
And then Paul speaks of that mystery of Christ's union to believers. Ephesians 5 verse 32, which to a degree, I said last Sunday, to a degree is experienced by a husband and a wife, the two becoming one flesh. That's becoming one flesh. Now some say that just means the marital union, just being married. It's not it. Because if Paul talks about a man being joined to a harlot, the two have become what? One flesh. He ain't talking about marrying a harlot. And that's as far as we need to go on that. You know what he's talking about. But there is that mystery of Christ's union to believers in that special way where he is the head, we're the body. He's the husband, we're the bride.
Yes, sir.
And we're still called the bride.
Yes, sir.
We're not called the wife yet.
Exactly.
Right? The New Testament always declares us when it speaks of that union as still the bride. Then there is the mystery of the bodily transformation of believers who are living when Christ comes back again. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 51 is mainly where Paul mentions that. And as I said last week, that was never prophesied in the Old Testament. A couple examples of it are given, but only in the sense of translation, of going up without dying. But even then, we're told nothing about these men, these two men who experienced that, what happened to their bodies. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. That is, I'm showing you something that nobody else had ever heard of before. Right? It's just not there. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be, what? Changed. So that's another mystery. That's the fourth mystery. There's no certain order other than I want to leave the one to last because it's pertinent to our subject. Thirdly, I mentioned it. I'm not going to deal with it in a lot of detail, but it's Israel's present national state.
Yeah.
Paul says that, but brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, that blindness in part is happened unto Israel. That's a national blindness. It's not an individual blindness, because some individual Jews are blinded, some Israelites are blinded. Other individual Jews are not blinded. So that has to be a national state, Mac, not an individual personal state per se. He's talking about, just like the disciples asked, Lord, will thou then at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They knew they had lost it. They was wondering when they're going to get it back. Why? Because it's prophesied.
Yes, sir.
But Paul comes along and says, behold, I show you a mystery. Or I would not have you to be ignorant of this mystery, that blindness in part is happened unto the Gentiles. And there's another word, Joe, until. Or no, blindness in part has happened unto Israel, I'm sorry. How long? Until the fullness of the Gentiles. And what Gentiles is he speaking about?
Yeah.
He's talking about the church.
That's right.
The Gentile believers of this present age.
Yes,
that would be the context. That's what he's talking about. Those who are being grafted into the rootstock of Israel now.
Yes, sir.
The wild olive branches. I want you to be ignorant of this mystery, that blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. What does that teach? As it goes on to say, God's not done with Israel nationally yet. But let me add, because when I say that, there are those who automatically think that I'm talking about God taking them back under the law and they got to start offering all these sacrifices to be justified and accepted before God. No. Their justification, their acceptance, will be as it always has been in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's right.
That's where it's all at. And I can be premillennialist and still believe that.
Yes, sir.
You know why? Because that's what the book says.
That's it.
I can believe it no matter what somebody else tells me I got to believe if I'm this or that. Sixthly, there is the mystery of present rebellion. I mentioned that. And this one ties in. I will spend a little more time here. I did not mention this one. I got this far last Sunday. Turn to, see, I could have had you turn here. I just didn't want to. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I need to take my time because there are times when I think I want to get on to this or that, but we need to spend a little time here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And mainly in verse 7, where Paul uses this word again, mystery. Look at it. For the mystery of iniquity. So there, iniquity is said to be a mystery, right?
Yeah.
Now, is iniquity, we know about sin. Little kids know about sin, right? You know? They're taught to pray to ask God to forgive them of their sin. There's something deeper here, David, than just the mystery of doing something wrong. You know? Paul calls it here the mystery of iniquity. And note, for the mystery of iniquity doth what? Already work.
Amen.
It's already in existence. And this is another in line with the other mysteries, that it is something, while it was prophesied, it's only been revealed to certain people.
Yeah.
Okay? And I don't mean a distinct elect class among the elect. I mean it is being revealed to the elect. Okay? Some of us may understand more of it than others. Some of the elect, even after regenerated, may know nothing of it. That's not the point.
Yeah.
Okay? Because you're not born again to know the mystery of iniquity. You're born again to know the mysteries of Christ. But there is the mystery of iniquity. That is something that the world doesn't get.
Exactly.
It's something that the world cannot get. And I will put it this way, as best I can state it this way. The mystery of the iniquity is this. It is a unified effort of rebellion against God.
Yes, sir.
That extends from the least all the way up to the greatest.
Yep, that's right.
And it is centralized in human government. That's the mystery of iniquity. It was at work before Christ even came along to this earth.
Yes, sir.
It was already at work then. It was manifested in Nebuchadnezzar's dream.
Yes, sir.
And four of the kingdoms of this mystery of iniquity are actually mentioned in vision or in dream form. Then in Daniel, as in Daniel chapter 2, we'll look at that later. In Daniel chapter 7, we're given another view of the same thing, only it comes in a different way. And there's a reason why there's a difference there. One is a heathen king dreaming. The other one is a believing saint being revealed directly truth of God. So God's going to reveal it in a different way. But it's the same truth that's being spoken about. The same kingdoms. But it's this again. This mystery of iniquity is a united, a concerted, a joined effort of rebellion against God Almighty, even at the subconscious level. Even if they don't know it. That's what he's talking about. And if you look at the context, you will see that there will come a man along in whom all of this will be centralized. Why? Because this says so. Well, how do you know it's going to be a man? Because it says he will be a man.
That's exactly right.
And he will be one man because it calls him the son, not sons, the son of perdition, the man of sin.
That's exactly right.
Now, others can say they know better, and it actually means sons of perdition and men of sin, but they then go into what is not in the book and claim special revelation from God. What I am saying is God has revealed. It is the mystery of iniquity that Paul is talking about, and he is revealing in word, or actually even in written form, the truth of it.
Yes, sir.
And let's read it. Now we beseech you, brethren, chapter 2, verse 1, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Which one's he talking about? Because the scripture's clear. Now, if you don't believe in two comings, you're wet behind the ears.
Yeah.
Or you just ain't learned yet. One or the other. But it tells us what one he's talking about, don't he? We could say, well, he's referring to our Lord's first coming. Because there are a lot of things we could beseech one another concerning his first coming.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
But he specifies which one. Yeah. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and what? And by our gathering together unto him. There are those who teach the second coming of Christ will be... How do I put it? I don't have any of their actual phrases or word, but it will be unrealized by anybody else.
Yeah.
And I know people say, well, you believe in a secret rapture. Well, not really. I don't believe in a secret rapture. I just believe man's so depraved that when it's happened, the humanity that's still left ain't going to get it. And I don't care if they have seen the Left Behind series. They still ain't going to get it. They won't really get it. They have the book. I mentioned this. They have the book in front of them. We have countless confessions of faith, and man still can't get the truth. Unregenerate man can't get the truth. What is he talking about? By our gathering together unto him. So which coming is he talking about? That one to come. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, that is in your inward thoughts, things that arise within your own mind, within yourself, you could say, nor by word. What's that? Something you might hear from somebody, something somebody else passed along, right? Somebody else's thoughts made known to you too, right? Nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. You see, in an epistle. If somebody tells you they read this somewhere else, don't be troubled by it.
Yeah.
As that the day of Christ, what is it? Is at hand. And the word here is not is at hand. That's not a good translation. The better translation would be the day of Christ is upon us.
Yeah.
That's the better translation. It's just a fact, folks. I'm not downing the King James. I'm just saying it's not adequate. The word, I suppose, when it was translated, probably was, because some people at hand think of it's here, it's right here now. There are others, because of your upbringing, think at hand means in the near future, but not here yet. Paul is saying it's not here yet. Don't let anybody tell you it's here yet. Let no man deceive you by any means. I don't care what they teach. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Now, I cannot really tell you what that is, because I don't know.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of speculation. But there's one thing that's connected with it that will be clear. Now, look what it says. For that day, what day? The day of Christ.
Yeah.
This time of great judgment to come. That's what it's talking about. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And what? And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
Amen.
So when this happens, this person will be revealed.
Yeah.
And Mason and I, others have talked, we've talked about this. Everybody's trying to find out who the Antichrist is.
Yeah.
If you get it right, you're just lucky.
That's it.
I mean, if you did, you'd just be lucky.
That's it.
Because he is not known now. He cannot be known until when? Till when he's revealed, and he ain't been revealed yet.
Exactly.
Because Christ's second coming and our gathering together unto him is what initiates this revelation.
Amen.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
Who's the Antichrist? He will be exactly who he is. Whether he exists today or not, I do not know. But he is coming, and he will be what? Revealed.
Amen.
And not only will he be revealed, you see in the book of the Revelation, men are going to worship him as though he is God. They're going to take his mark. What is it? Is it the palm of their hand? But wherever, forehead and in their hands.
Yeah.
And they can neither what? Buy nor sell. What's that have to do with? That has to do with the human economy.
Yeah.
which is regulated by who?
Government.
Human government.
That's right.
Now, I'm not up here trying to preach deregulation. That ain't what I'm talking about. I may or may not agree with that. You can talk to me about that later. That's not the point here. But the point is this. There's coming the day of Christ.
Yes, sir.
And then this day of Christ, two specific things, actually three, are said to take place. One, our gathering together unto Him. And let me say, that happens before the day of Christ starts. It actually is the starting of the day of Christ, according to Paul's first epistle to these people.
Yeah.
Our gathering together unto the resurrection of living of dead of sleeping saints, those that have died, their bodies are dead. And those who are still living are going to be changed, and we're going to be what? Gathered together unto Him. Along with that, there will be a falling away. I do believe we see that all around us.
Amen.
But I can't point out to you, this is it. I'm not going to do that. But these three things, the gathering together, the falling away, and what? The revealing of the son of perdition. Right? That's what this says. Who opposeth and exalteth himself, not just against God, but look at what it says, above all that is called God.
Yes, sir.
He will rise above and even cause those who are not in Christian religion to follow Him.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yeah.
Not just some poor, sad, misinformed thinking or supposed believers in Christ. No. Uh-uh. The world will go after Him. Because that's what the book of the Revelation says.
Yeah.
Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped.
Yeah.
Idol. You know what you think of an idol worshiper? Somebody worshiping a rock. These people are going to turn to this man. They're going to worship this man. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. Well, what temple is it talking about? The temple of God.
Amen.
The one that will be built on that mount in Jerusalem.
Amen.
Because it's no more some spiritual, because it can't be a spiritual temple. This is not spiritual. This is the mystery of iniquity.
Right.
This ain't spiritual. It'll be totally carnal, totally Adamic. Total rebellion against not only God, but all that's called God and is worshipped.
Amen.
But he will sit in the temple. Well, when will that temple come? I don't know, but it will be here.
Yep.
That sitteth in the temple of God and do what? Showing himself that he is God. He will claim to be God Almighty.
Yep.
And we think, well, nobody's going to follow that. Look at what they follow today. And this is not just going to be all of a sudden a few anti-Christ soul winners are going to spring up and start preaching a new message. Look, remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. So they probably knew a whole lot more than even we do today.
Yeah.
You know, because Paul sat down and talked with them about this.
Yeah.
And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It doesn't say that this guy's already here. No, it's this mystery of iniquity. This concerted, united effort of rebellion against God from the least to the greatest.
Yes,
it's already at work. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, that means not we think of let, is you allow.
Yeah.
It's actually hold back.
Yeah.
Only the one who holds back will hold back until he be taken out of the way.
Yeah.
And then shall that, and I like that they capitalize because that's his name.
Yeah.
Wicked.
Yeah.
And because it is in the Greek, it's a name. It's not a character, Joe, it's his name. And then shall that wicked be revealed. So when are we going to know who it is? When will anybody be able to know who it is? Then. And then only.
Yeah.
Because it ain't revealed now. I don't care what premillennialist comes along and tells you, I figured out who it was. Right?
Yeah.
I said if you did guess the right one, you still don't really know. You just got lucky. And none of us will know you got lucky till it happens.
Exactly.
And somebody said, well, how will we know? We won't be here. You're going to be transformed anew. You think you'll be dumber then than you are now?
Exactly.
Now, that was my addition to it, but that's just a fact. Moses and Elijah, they understood Christ's death before he died.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, and then shall that wicked be revealed, what? Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of what? His coming.
Amen. That's right.
Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, and here's the kicker, with all power and signs and lying wonders.
Amen.
People believe stuff without miracles. They believe lies without miracles today.
Yes, sir.
This person is going to come along and he's going to be able to perform great feats that will boggle the mind. And you see, in our enlightened age, we think, well, that was all Old Testament time when all that weird stuff happened.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
When waters got parted, when manna come down from heaven. You know, that was all back then. That's what Gideon thought back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gideon thought, well, that ain't happened for years.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Right.
God don't do that now. God showed him different, didn't he?
Exactly.
But this won't be God doing this, but it's still God's purpose.
That's right.
This will be him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perished. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause, God, look, shall. As I say this over and over because it is the facts. When you read the word shall, there are two things absolutely true about that. One, it will be absolutely true.
Yeah.
That is, it will absolutely come to pass. But the other one is this, it's still future.
Yes,
you don't say shall if it's already happened. You say has. That's why we have words.
Exactly.
You know, so we can distinguish between then and then. And somebody said, well, that's true of Paul's day. Well, you tell me who he was then. If it's already happened, tell me who he was and prove it. Because this said he'll be revealed and people will follow him.
Yes, sir.
Well, it was the Pope. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. Well, it was a series of popes. No, this don't say it will be a series. It will be a person.
Right.
Is that what that says?
Yeah.
That's what it says. With all deceivableness of righteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall what? What's God going to do?
Yeah.
God's going to send them strong delusion. Now here's the point. Let me tell you, that doesn't mean God's not doing that today.
That's right.
Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There are people that God Almighty is sending strong delusion even now.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But this is talking about a specific time and a specific delusion. Or it says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe, and it should be the lie, not just a lie. It's not just it. They're not going to believe 2 + 2 = 3. That ain't what it's talking about. They're going to believe this person. They're going to follow this man. Why? So that they all might be damned. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth. But it's even more, it's not just where they were just poor ignorant souls. No, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But don't you thank God you're not a part of that group? Is that what he says in the next verse? I thank God you wasn't a part of that group. Why? Because there's some people alive that when this begins to take place, they cannot but help believe it.
That's it.
You cannot help but believe it. That's the mystery of iniquity. But remember, it's already at work. That is this united, concerted effort of rebellion against God, even if it's on a subconscious level. You know, people love to talk about the Illuminati, and I'm not going into that. But they think that that's kind of where it's at. The Illuminati, you heard of them? You know, them people back behind the scenes manipulating human government? They might be. I don't know. I ain't met one yet. If you did, he wouldn't tell you. That's the whole point of what they do. But the point is this. Let me tell you, two things are true. One, no matter what they may be doing, God Almighty's in sovereign control of all of it. And it's working toward this end right here. But let me tell you, you know where this mystery of iniquity's at? It's right in here in us. And apart from the Spirit and grace of God, it would remain dominating us. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, because you're not a part of that group. Right? And it was all God's sovereign doing. I paraphrase, but that's what he said.
Yes, sir.
That's the mystery of iniquity. All right. It's 12 o'clock. Then we have the mystery of the church. That's the best way I know to put it. That's found. I'm not even going to go into this, but Revelations 1, 19 and 20. Remember, John sees what? Stars. Seven stars and seven, what was it? Somebody help me. What was it? Yeah, lampstands. Was that what it was? Two sevens. And then Christ tells John, I'm going to show you the mystery of these two things. They are the church's ministers, the pastors. Seven of them in particular. There may have been more elder, but in each local assembly, there's one person who is responsible over everything else. That's what he's talking about. And there are seven local assemblies. That's the mysteries spoken of in Revelations 1. But now let's get to this one. And there's no way I can get through this. We'll have to do this week after next, because I will not be here next week. Lord willing. There are what our Lord himself called the mysteries of the kingdom. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. And I saved this one for last, not because it is last on the list per se, but just because it is, along with the one I just mentioned before, the mystery of iniquity, it is most pertinent to our present subject. Matthew 13, verse 11. You all give me about another 10 minutes, and I'll just have to stop, and we'll start over, Lord willing, a week after next. I said 11. Let's go to verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And it's amazing, something that they really didn't get, that Christ was speaking to them as well.
Yeah.
Not just to them out there.
Exactly.
But he was speaking to them out there too. He was saying this to more than just the disciples. They said, Why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now that's the same exact Greek word. So it still has to have the same basic fundamental meaning. You understand what I'm saying? We can't go off on some wild tangent and say this means something else now.
Exactly.
It's the same word, David, as all these other. I've checked. The same word as all these other uses of the word mystery. Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But what?
Yeah.
But to them it's not given. Now, what Christ is talking about is his teaching.
Yes, sir.
And he's given us a prime example of this teaching. And what is the teaching? It is the teaching of the sower going forth to sow the seed of the good word of God.
Amen.
And that's said to be the mysteries of the kingdom. We will find out, according to the Apostle Paul, I'm summarizing now because of time, we will find out, according to the Apostle Paul, that this was not revealed to ages and generations past, but is now being revealed to his people and to his people only.
That's it.
Now let me put it this way, and I borrowed this from others, but it's still a good phrase. I know some people don't like it, but they just don't like it because they don't like the truth. It irritates their little standard, their little doctrines, what they've been brought up in, what they think the Word of God says, rather than what the Word of God actually just says. Therefore, it disturbs them. This is what some have called the mystery form of the kingdom, and that's okay. Because this is the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir.
It is the same kingdom spoken of in the Old Testament, but it's the mystery part of it. That is, it's the part that wasn't revealed before. He doesn't say that here, granted, I know. But as I said, we'll see that later.
Yeah.
Spoken of by the Apostle Paul. Now, how do I know this? Well, first of all, what is this mystery? The mystery is this. In the mass of humanity, you don't just preach the gospel and then whoever wants to gets a hold of it.
Exactly. That's it.
You don't just preach the gospel and whoever's smart enough or wise enough or maybe under conviction enough, then they'll get it. No, it takes, even with the spreading of the good word of God, it takes a sovereign act of God for this to benefit anyone. That's what he taught in Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9. It's the seed falling upon different types of ground. And he said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Because it's only to them that this will be revealed. Now somebody said, well, that's in the Old Testament. Knowing the truth and the gospel is true. That's in the Old Testament, but not the kingdom part of it.
Yeah.
The things prophesied about the kingdom in the Old Testament is this. During the time of 10 specific kings, God Almighty shall set up a kingdom on this earth that will destroy all those other kingdoms, and the saints of God with God will reign over those other kingdoms.
Amen.
Because that's what the book says. Daniel 2 in Nebuchadnezzar's vision and Daniel 7 in Daniel's dream. Both of them teach this. It is a kingdom that will come that will wipe out all other kingdoms.
Yes, sir.
The mystery form of it is that this kingdom will be at work even while the other kingdoms still exist.
Exactly.
It's the inward part of the kingdom. Now, I got 5 more minutes. Let me find the spot here. Now, that's the context. And he says, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. That would have to be, Joe, something that hasn't been said or revealed before. Because I've given it to you when?
Now. Right
now. And Paul will actually go on to say it's only being revealed now. We read that this morning on the way up here, didn't we? Read it in 2 different places. And we'll look at that later. But here it is. Let me find the passage here. I think. Let me look before I have you turn all the way there. Is it Luke? Yeah. Luke chapter 17. Now look at this. This is quite pointed to our question. Luke 17 verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees... So what were they saying? You better tell us now. Now, do you think you treat God that way? Well, that's what they tried, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, what? When the kingdom of God should come. Well, that's what we all want to know, don't we? Huh? Premillennialists said they figured it out. And amillennialists said they figured it out. And the postmillennialists said they figured it out. And we all got it figured out, but we disagree.
Exactly.
So somebody ain't got it figured out yet. Even if it's all of us, Jay, we ain't got it figured out yet because we disagree. Somebody's left out. When the kingdom of God should come, and he answered them and said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation.
Amen.
Now wait a minute, you talking about a kingdom that said when 10 kings shall be in power that this great stone cut out of the mountains without hands will roll from on high and crush these kingdoms and bring them to dust and ashes? You won't be able to see that. Oh, you will see that.
Yeah.
But what you can't see is the mystery form of it.
That's it.
That's what you can't see. The kingdom of God cometh, what? Not with observation. That is, it doesn't come with attentive watching.
Yeah.
It's not going to come just because you're looking for it.
Exactly.
Thousands looked for it and didn't see nothing.
That's right.
Right? Thousands of believers looked for it. Didn't happen.
That's right.
The kingdom of God, it doesn't come with ocular evidence. That's another good way to put it.
Yeah.
It doesn't come because you see it take place. Look at what he says. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. Now what's amazing is that I read premillennials, and every one of them talks about what that doesn't mean, but they won't tell you what it does mean.
Exactly.
You know why? Because there's probably just as many premillennialists that is wet behind the ears as there are amillennialists and postmillennialists. They say, well, he's talking to the Pharisees anyway, and we know the kingdom of God wasn't really in them. That's the answer you'll get. The kingdom of God's future. It's 1,000 years yet in the future, or 1,000 years that will happen, and that's yet in the future. Well, let me tell you, the kingdom is far more than 1,000 years.
Yes, sir.
Jeez, give me a break. It's a kingdom that will last forever.
Amen.
Even premillennialists talk about the kingdom and the eternal state. No, there is the kingdom.
Yeah, that's it.
And it started already. It will one day be visibly manifest for 1,000 years, and then it will finally so consume everything that will be the only thing that exists.
Amen.
Yes,
other than everybody else in the lake of fire.
Yeah.
And we'll be walking around looking at them in there.
Yeah.
That's what it says. Look, don't say here or there. Why? Because the kingdom of God is within you. Because that's where it begins. And let me tell you, the kingdom of God has come.
Yes, sir.
It has come. But it's only come in its mystery form. It's come in the form in which God did not previously reveal, but Christ introduced. And then Paul defines in detail.
Amen. Yeah.
And Paul said, this is something God gave me that nobody else had. That's right. That's what he says.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
It came to me by revelation. And he ain't talking about the Old Testament. When he mentions Old Testament, he says, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Scripture. He said, I got this by revelation.
Yes, sir.
What's he talking about? This is what Christ taught him when he's out there in that desert for all that time by himself. But I want you to notice that my time's up. Give me a couple more minutes. Look, does our Lord then abandon anything future?
No, sir.
Does he say that it's all right now and it's all within you? That's what some then say. Well, since it's in you, then that's got to be the fulfillment of it. Is that what he taught? Huh? Wouldn't this be the place to teach it if that's it? If he said anything contrary, which is the truth. The thing about it is he could say both. Because both are true.
Exactly.
Look, and he said unto the... Who was it? He's leaving the Pharisees now. They got enough.
Yeah.
The kingdom of God's in you. That's where it's got to be.
Yeah.
That's the only place it's going to be for you. No place else.
Yeah.
And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. What? Ye shall not see it. They shall say unto you, see here or see there. Go not after them nor follow them. Why? Because the kingdom of God's in you, right? He's done answered all that, right?
Exactly.
No. He's talking now to who? The disciples. And he's now giving them further instruction. He left the Pharisees with just, it's in you, and that's it.
That's it.
But what's he tell them? For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto another part under the heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be, what? In his day. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. But is he just talking about now? Look, and as it was in the days of Noe, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and drink. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it is in the days of Lot. They did eat and drink. They bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom. Now you think about that. It rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in that day, what? When the Son of Man is revealed. And I mean he's going to be revealed to everyone.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And somebody said, well, that means everybody's just going to blow up. No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say that. He illustrates it with two things. The flood came. But you know how long? It rained for days. Then it didn't just come down, sploosh, 100 feet in the water and everybody dies. Those people scrambled for the mountaintops. Those people ran. They climbed trees. They looked in the distance on the horizon and seen a massive mountain. And I bet you many of them, David, ran to it. But what it, eventually it overtook them all. Remember the rain. It rained, didn't just sploosh, fall down. It drowned everybody. It took days for this to happen. Right?
Yeah.
That it rained for, it tells you how many days. That water gradually came up.
Yeah.
Now there's your illustration.
Yeah.
Now what about Lot? Lot left the city. Did it immediately right then? No. Lot was still traveling. Still going away from, but he was out of. Just like Noah was out of. Does that remind you of anything? What did I say the initiation of the day of Christ was? The catching up of the saints.
Exactly.
That's when it all starts. Why? Because this says so.
That's it.
Now look, in that day, he that shall be on the housetop, look out, because it's coming down now, and it's just going to be all over with. Now, look, in that day, and even thus shall it be in that day when the Son of Man is revealed, in that day he which shall be on the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down and take it away. And he that is in the field, let him not likewise return back. Why? Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall seek to his life shall preserve it, or lose his life shall preserve it. Look, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. One's going to be taken. And it doesn't just say the other one's just going to poof in a ball of fire. One's going to be what?
Left.
There'll be two men in one bed. One shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. Do they do that at night? Usually don't, do you? Why? Because this earth's round. There will be some people in bed, there will be some people awake. You know? Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. They answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he basically said, wherever when it happens, it'll happen. That's basically what he said.
Yeah.
You see, the whole point is, he told the Pharisees just enough, just enough to even confound their condemnation even more.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But the disciples, he didn't leave there to think, well, that's it. The kingdom of God's all inward. It is inward. We can't deny that. Why? Because Christ said so. But let me tell you, it's not just that either. And people who say it's just that deny Christ's word. And it's more than just that, as we will see. Father, so many things. So many things. And as Peter said of our beloved brother Paul, many things hard to be understood. Yet, Lord, we know by your Spirit that you can and you do enable us in your good time and your good pleasure to lay hold, even if we don't fully understand, but to lay hold of these precious truths. I thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen.